Let's open our Bibles together this morning in the book of the Psalms, Psalm 119. Psalm 119, commencing to read at verse 25. Psalm 119, verse 25. Let's follow the reading of God's infallible book for the glory of His name, the edification of our hearts. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. And we know that God Himself will add His blessing to His word for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, Thy well-beloved, Thine only begotten Son. And as we approach Thy throne today, we do so in the merits of the precious blood of our blessed Redeemer. We thank Thee that we have access into Thy courts today, for the veil has been rent from the top to the bottom. We bless Thee that the way is open, that guilty, hell-deserving sinners may approach a righteous and a holy God. Not in their own righteousness, for they have none, but in the righteousness of Christ alone, which has been imputed unto them through faith in Christ alone. O God, humbly and reverently we bow before Thee. And humbly and reverently we take Thy word in our hands today. And O God, as we read Thy word, that Thou wilt write it upon our hearts, that we will not sin against Thee. Help us, our God, to take the word that is written for us. And help us, Lord, to put it into practice in our lives, that we might glorify our Father, which is in heaven. O God, we need Thee today. Therefore we ask of Thee, Thou triune God, Father, Son, And Holy Spirit, come in power in this meeting. Take over every one of our hearts. Oh God, we pray for those that are not saved and on that road that leads to a lost eternity. Awaken them out of the slumber of their sin. And oh God, we pray that Thou will give them life, for they are dead in trespasses and in sin. Those that have wandered. And oh God, we all confess how easy it is to wander. We pray that Thou will bring the wanderer home, that they might walk with God. We pray for those who are Thy children. Help us to love Thy Word. Help us this day to meditate upon it. Help us to desire more than even the food upon the table and the dinner feast. Help us, our God, to love it more than riches or fine gold. For this is Thy Word. Bless it to our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. As we have been praying before the Lord today and asking God to bless His Word to our hearts, we have been meditating upon the Word of God. We have read again this morning in the Psalm 119. And there in that Psalm, the psalmist brings before us the necessity and the value of the Word of God to the hearts of those that dwell in the Word, and the Word of God dwells in them. Last Lord's Day morning, we noticed the Word of God blesses God's children. Blessed in verse 1, it says, are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Have you come for a blessing today? Let me tell you this, if you've come with a heart prepared before God, you'll not go home disappointed. Because listen, God's Word, even as we've read it today, is a blessing. We are blessed that we're able to come to God's house. We're blessed today that we can come and we can take the Word of God in our hands and we can read the Word of God, or we can listen to the Word of God, and the Word of God becomes a blessing because those that seek God with all and with a whole heart, listen, blessed are they. But blessed are they that keep His testimonies. God's Word is a blessing and will be a blessing when we walk according to them. And then secondly, we notice, in verse number 9, the Word of God does something else. Not only does it bless us, but praise God, the Word of God cleanses us. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? You know, it's so easy to be stained by the world. Whenever we walk amongst the world, friend, and we face the world and the challenges of the world and all that the world would seek to bring upon us, and everyone knows their own heart. There's not one of us that are perfect. We've got our feelings. And so many times we stumble and fall. And we get stained by the world. But it says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? You see, when God's child is stained by the world, He doesn't want to stay stained. He wants his life to be clean. And the Word of God, you know, is a cleansing word. Because as we read the Word of God, listen, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto. If
you want to be clean, friend, if you want to know what it is, what the life is, for you to walk clean before God, listen, it's in the book. It's in the Word of God. And the Word of God tells you how that your life can be cleansed by taking heed thereto. Oh, it's not only knowledge. Because there's many a person, let me tell you, knows the life they're living wrong. But they're still stained by sin. And the reason why that they're still stained by sin is this. Whilst they have a knowledge of what God says about a particular thing, they do not take heed. In other words, they do not bring their lives into rule and according to the standard of the Word of God. In other words, they're walking in rebellion to the Word of God, and rebellion is sin. But what happens is this. Here's the question. But wherewithal shall this young man cleanse his way? God, I don't want to be dirty. I don't want my life to be stained. I don't want my life to have the scars and the marks of sin upon it, oh God. I want my life cleansed. I want to be clean. I want to walk right. Thank God the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from the sins of the past. There's not a sin, friend, but praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses, yea, keeps on cleansing from all sin. There's power in the blood today. But wherewithal shall young man cleanse his way? Listen, I want to walk clean. I want to walk right. I don't want the stains of sin. I don't want the guilt that comes with it. I don't want the heartache and the heartbreak that comes with the sin. I want to be clean. Wherewithal should a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed.
There's the secret. By taking heed. According to thy word. And the word of God, let me tell you, will keep you clean. You walk that life, friend, in accordance to the word of God, and you'll keep clean. I think of the words of the wee hymn that says, I'm free from the guilt of tomorrow, and I'm free from the guilt of the past. You know, friends, we want to be clean. We've got to bring our lives into line. That's what it's talking here. Bring your life into line, and taking heed according to the Word of God. It cleanses. Thirdly, we noticed also in our study that the Word of God not only cleanses, the Word of God gives joy. Verse 14. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Verse 16, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. And thank God, obedience brings joy. Obedience brings joy, friend. And when a person walks in obedience to the Word of God, and his life is cleansed by the Word of God, and God's blessing him through the Word of God, thank God he'll have joy in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. God's people need to have a love for this Word that they might rejoice in the Lord. I will delight myself in thy statutes. Listen, my brother, my sister, his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Who's that? That's the blessed man. Psalm 1. He delights in the law of the Lord.
And then we notice last Lord's Day, finally, in verse number 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Thank God if you're looking for counsel. The young people on Saturday night, our brother Mr. Brown is coming to bring God's word, and young people facing the challenges and the sins of this day and this age and society, they need counsel, but they need counsel according to the Word of God. What does God say? Not as what does Mr. Brown say, or not as what the preacher says, not as what the church declares. Listen, my friend, what does the Word of God say? And it says here, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Lord, would you tell me? Remember what Saul said? And he had the Bible in his hand, friend, he fell in the dust. And as he fell in the dust there on that Damascus road, and his life was gloriously and wonderfully changed, and praise God, eternally changed, he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, you're my counselor. I want you to tell me what's your will. People say to me, preacher, I want to know the will of God, friend. I'll tell you this, you seek God before the Word, before His Word, and you read the Word. And I'll tell you, those two things, prayer and the Word of God, go hand in glove together, friend. And if you're seeking the will of God, you say, listen, I'm praying about it. Listen, friend, get around the Word of God. Ask God to direct you in His Word. And I believe there'll always be a word from God for you. God will give you a direction. God will give you guidance. Because the Word of God, it gives you counsel. Now, let's move on quickly. Let's go to verse 25. We started it this morning in our reading. It says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. And here we find that the Word of God does something else, friend. The Word of God, it gives us life. Notice it says here in verse 25, quicken me. And the word quicken is, oh God, give me life. Oh God, put life in me. Put your life in me. There's many a child of God, and let me tell you, friend, be honest. You need to say, oh God, I need you to give me new power and new life. But Lord, I've been so dry. I've been so dead in myself. Oh God, yes, I can look back and remember the former days and remember the happy days and I remember the great days. You know, when people talk about great days and the service of God, they're talking about something that's past. God forgive us. These should be great days for God. Brother and sister, God can make these the days that we can remember and days to come and say, these were the days of God's blessing. These were the days of God's power. Every day with God should be a day of new life. And a day of victory and a day of power. Yes, The wee song is, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Lord, where is that so refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? Oh God, I need quickened, Lord. I need quickened. I need quickened because there's a deadness coming to my heart. And there's a dryness coming to my soul. And Lord, my soul's barren. And oh God, I'm not satisfied. I want you to give me life. Notice what he says here in verse 25. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. You know what that means? There's something happened here. I don't know what it is. But listen, I don't know what it is. But the psalmist is prostrated before God. He's in the dust. His face is in the ground. And he said, oh God, my soul cleaveth. Under the dust. Here's something happened in his life that his life's dry, friend. It's dead. The dust. It may have been that there's an overwhelming sense of guilt here. I don't know. Something in his life, and there's an overwhelming sense of guilt. You remember the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit comes to convict. And the Holy Spirit, when he comes to your life, then you ask, oh, blessed Spirit of God, you come and fill my life. I'll tell you, you remember what the work of the Holy Spirit is. He comes to convince. He comes to convict of righteousness. He comes to convict of sin. And many a man has said, oh, blessed Spirit of God, come and Lord, take over my life. Blessed Spirit of God, fill me with power. And let me tell you, when the Holy Spirit comes to answer, he puts his finger upon something in your life. It's wrong. You say, Lord, I didn't ask you to come to convict me. I said, blessed Spirit of God, come and fill me. Let me tell you, friend, when the Holy Spirit comes in power to your life, he must put his finger upon that which is wrong before you can be filled with power to do that which is right. Are there wrongs in your life today? God knows all of our hearts this morning. But there's something here, and there's the truth of the matter is this. It certainly has gripped the heart of the psalmist, and he's gripped in distress. And he has come to the end of his own resources because he says, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. The joy has gone out. Has the joy of the Lord, friend, gone out of your life this morning? Has it? Have you lost the joy? You have plenty of knowledge, but you've lost the joy. You know, the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Honestly, before God, are you therefore strong before him? You can't be if you've lost that joy. And here the psalmist comes before God, and he comes and he brings the burden, whatever it is, and he's bringing it before God, and he says, God, I'm just telling my heart. He said, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. And oh God, I want life. I want you to come. I want you to come and touch my life. Is there one this morning who doesn't need to ask God to do that today? Oh, blessed God. I want you to come and touch my life afresh. Quicken me. Oh, God, put new life in me. Quicken me according to thy word. And friend, when you be honest before God and you bring your heart before God, God will confront you as you come to this book. And as you and I read this book, God confronts you and he confronts me in the pages of this book with the basic problem that's within our hearts and the impurities in our hearts and the sin that's in our hearts. But praise God, in this infallible book, he comes with a solution. And the psalmist is wanting the solution. The Word of God won't fudge the issue. The Word of God won't redefine sin, friend. We'll have to confess our sin. And the Bible says if we confess our sin, he is faithful, he's just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when we come to the Word of God, as we read on this morning, the Word of God is quick, it's living, it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Don't you think you'll come to the Word of God? And you're honestly coming to the Word of God and you say, God, I want you to speak to me. Lord, I want you to deal with my heart. Oh God, I want you to put your finger upon my soul and God, give me life. Let me tell you, friend, the Word of God will come and it will be sharper than a new two-edged sword. There's a blade on both sides. And the Word of God, let me tell you, listen, it pierces even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. In other words, he gets right in. Have you let the Word of God get right in, friend? The psalmist says, search me, O God, and know my heart. But the Word of God gives life. And he comes before God because the Word of God is powerful. It's powerful, praise God, when the Word of God is led upon our souls, it can pull down the strongholds of Satan. Thank God the strongholds will have to give way. The stronghold of pride, the stronghold of sin, whatever it be. It's powerful. It's quick. It's living. Living! It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts right to the heart. And the psalmist says, teach me, verse 26, teach me. Lord, teach me your statutes. And then verse 27 says, make me to understand the ways of thy precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous work. In other words, here's something else the Word of God does for you. The Word of God helps me witness. You see, when my heart is put right and I'm brought in accordance to the Word of God and I am willing to cleave, be honest before God and say, Lord, I need life, I need power in my life, Lord. I want to put my life right before Thee and I want to walk in accordance to Thy Word. Lord, make me to understand the way of Thy precepts. Oh God, I want You to get this in my heart. You come to the Word of God, friend, to be honest. You've left down the Scriptures and you said, don't understand that. Don't understand that. Let's be honest. There are many things in the Word of God we don't understand. But as we grow in grace and as we grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, God can touch our understanding. And the psalmist is saying, Lord, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Lord, would you just make me to understand? Lord, show me. Make it clear. Make your precepts clear to me. Show me the way of your precepts. But notice the reason why he asks it. This is important. That people might know how knowledgeable I am, that people might wonder at my and stand in amazement of me and awe of me, no friend. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. In other words, the purpose is that I might witness, that I might talk of them, that I might reach others, that I might tell others. Not with a haughty spirit, with a broken heart, that I might want to be a blessing to others. Are you talking about the precepts of God? Is that what you talk about when you meet your fellow brother or sister in Christ? Do you talk much about the Lord, friend? Do you? When you meet together to have a time, what do you talk about? You converse about Him, about His Word. Is He the center of your life? Is He the attraction of your life? You know, I tell you this before God. There's many people, and if you meet them, and if you start talking to them about the Lord, friend, boys, you can nearly see them pull back. They'll talk to you about everything. They'll talk about the situation in the country. They'll talk about the Middle East. They'll talk certainly about the weather if they come from Northern Ireland. And that about all these things, you start to talk about the things of God and about how precious the Lord is to you. And friend, they nearly dry up. And to be honest, they dry up and they're wanting you to dry up. Do you know what's the problem? Because their hearts are already dried up. Because the person who loves the Lord, let me tell you, if you love the Lord, you want to talk about Him. You want to share. You want to tell others. Lord, would you make me understand the way of thy precepts? So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. We need to witness. Ye are my witnesses. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ today, friend, listen, you're a witness for him. He has saved you to be his witness. But then notice verse 28. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. God's word gives you strength. Gives you strength. Now you see the word melt there. That was the poetic way of expressing weeping. Weeping. It says, my soul melteth for heaviness. This man is broken. He's in heaviness. There is a heaviness in his heart, friend. And this heaviness in his heart, whatever the situation is that's weighing upon him, has broken him. And their tears are flowing. And his heart has been poured out before God. And he says, oh God, my heart, my soul, it melteth, it's in heaviness. And oh God, I'm heartbroken. He's crying. He's weeping. The Lord Jesus wept over the city of Jerusalem and the sin of the city. The Lord Jesus stood at the side of the grave of Lazarus. The Bible says Jesus wept. He saw what sin had done. And Lazarus' friend was lying in the tomb. The Lord Jesus went to Gethsemane there in that garden of Gethsemane. He wept. And his soul was in heaviness as he contemplated bearing our sin. He who was with out sin, bearing our sin upon his own body on the tree, and of that separation which would come because of our sin. Maybe today in your life, in this service this morning, there's people before God, and you're saying, honestly, before God, preacher, you don't know about it, but listen, I came to the church this morning and I came with a heavy heart. Heavy. Got a heavy heart today. Things in my life that nobody knows about, but my heart's heavy. There's things in my family. When I meet my neighbors or meet my fellow church members, they always say she's got a smile, but preacher, the heavy heart this morning. And friend, your heart's breaking. Let me tell you something. You need a word from God. You need a word from God. That's where you'll find your strength.
Oh God, give me a word. And there's many a person here in this service must confess today you've come to God's house. And only for the word that God has given you, you couldn't go on. There's many a broken-hearted father, and they're burdened for their loved ones, and their sons and their daughters are going to hell, and their heart's breaking, and the only thing that keeps that dad from going on, or that mother from going on, let me tell you, is because God has given them a word to strengthen them.
For without the word of God, friend, to strengthen, they'd fall to pieces. And would lie in the dust. Oh God, listen to the verse again. My soul melteth for heaviness, strengthen thy me according to thy word. And brother and sister, you know there's many of you, and you're holding on to the promise that God gave you, aren't you? You're standing on the promises. And God's promise strengthened you. Call upon me in the day of trouble and I will answer thee. Remember the day God gave you that promise, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll not be weary, they'll walk and not faint. Remember the day God gave you that promise, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, I will help thee, I will uphold thee. And brother and sister, you went out as a young babe in Christ, and God promised, he says, I will strengthen thee, and God says, I will help thee, and God says, I will uphold thee. And the preacher said, you take the promise of God and stand on it. For God says, I will!
And you say, brother,
I'm just standing on the promise of God.
Has that prayer been answered yet?
No.
It seems as if the situation may have got darker, preacher. But God gave me that promise. And I'm standing on the promise of God. You're right, brother. You're right, sister. Stand on the promises of God. Claim the promises. They're there for you. And God will strengthen you. He will give you succor. He will give you strength. Praise God, it's His word that holds us in the day of battle. It's His word when all the fiery darts of hell are being fired against us. When you have a word from God, God, strengthen me according to Thy word. The word of God that gives you strength. Now, time's away. I'm going to give you one last thought, and then we'll come after him back. But listen, verse 45. Here's the last thought. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. The word of God then gives you liberty. You know, most people, they try to describe walking according to the word of God as, and according to the law of God. Another way, they said, you know, the last thing you would regard walking, you know, in direct accordance to the word of God is liberty. They say that life, the life of faith is a life of bondage instead of a life of liberty. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't go here, you can't go there. And they say, you know, that's not much liberty, is it? It really is a life of bondage. And to the unsaved, the word of God is, as were, is a hedge of restriction instead of liberty. You know, child of God can't live just as they like or as they want. But the child of God is to live according to God's will. According to God's will. But there's true freedom there. Because, you know, those who walk in sin are in bondage. The word of God says, he that committeth sin is the slave, the servant of sin, the slave of sin. Society in which we live, you know, seeking to abolish all restrictions, all restraint on human behavior. In the name of freedom, they tell us that we should have liberty to have abortion on demand. They tell us that in the name of freedom, we're to have perversion instead of standards of honesty and decency. And respectability. They have raised the criminals' rights because of the society, and throwing aside restraint, the criminals' rights seems to have more importance, and the criminals are to be cradled and the rights of the victims are to be cast aside. And friend, with all this so-called liberalizing of our society, tragedy as a result of it, the drug culture is destroying millions, divorce is destroying our homes, sexual revolution is lurking and burning our young people into a lifestyle which is opposed to the Word of God, and guilt follows. You see, the person who is the slave of sin, or committed sin, is the slave and the servant of sin. Ask the young heroin addict. And you see them lying on the street, friend. And they cannot even find their vein to inject the drug in. And say to them, friend, are you enjoying your liberty? Are you enjoying your liberty?
Or ask the person who is dying of AIDS. And as they're dying and come to the end of the journey, friend, and their body wastes away, ask them this question. Are you enjoying the fruits of your freedom? Or go into the home where the home is wrecked because of divorce. And as the child will cradle itself,
cry itself to sleep, ask the child, are you enjoying the freedom of the age? You see, the first lie that was propagated in the Word of God, friend, was concerning liberty. To do anything you want. That's whenever the devil came to Eve in the garden. And God put a restraint and God put a restriction. For God says, in the day, Adam, thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the devil came and the devil said, listen, thou shalt not surely die, to Eve. And said, you know, God's holding out on you, because the day you eat thereof, instead of dying, you become as God. You'll have no more restraints because you are the decider. And sad to say, Eve swallowed Satan's lie, friend. Listen to me. And her husband became her first victim. The first victim of the so-called freedom. And from that day, every one of us in this service that's gathered here in God's house today have been born not in freedom, but in the bondage of sin. The devil's a liar. And the human race was plunged into bondage. Listen to these words as I close. And I will walk, verse 35, at liberty. For he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Oh God, help me today to put my life right according to thy word, that I might enjoy these blessings that thy word promises to give. For Jesus' sake, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy word. We pray that thou wilt bless thy word this morning afresh to our hearts. Help every one of your children today that are strengthened by thy promises, by thy word. Help them to hold on to thy word. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Help them, our God, to stand upon your promises, because your promises will never fail. Doesn't mean that they'll not be tested. But praise God, it does mean to never be found wanting. For thou art a God who cannot lie. Just bless thy word to all of our souls. And if there are those today and have wandered from thee, or today are not saved, please God, bring them to yourself. For Jesus' sake.